to another episode of Flick Fanatics with your co-hosts, I'm Matt.
And I'm Jackson.
And welcome back.
This is our second episode.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Alrighty. First episode, we did Zero Dark Thirty this episode.
This is our second episode, by the way.
So, catch up on that. Yeah. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about the movie, Jackson?
All right.
Take it away for us.
Zero Dark Thirty, directed by Kathryn Bigelow. She did The Hurt Locker, I believe, right? I'm not sure what else she did, but stars Jessica Chastain. She's like the main
CIA.
She's like a CIA agent. And decent performance. Not the best actor, but the movie makes up for it. It's mainly about the hunt for Osama bin Laden by Jessica Chastain's character. It's like she spearheads the whole operation.
Yeah, she's trying to take charge. She's still that a little bit of a hot shot.
Yeah, she thinks she's a hot shot.
She says the F word a lot.
In, like, the most random and useless places.
I'm saying, what the heck am I watching?
Yeah, exactly.
So who else is in it? Who else
we got? We got Mark Strong.
Oh, he's a great actor.
He was in Kick-Ass.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he was a funny character, too.
Yeah, he was.
He was a minor character. I don't know why IMDb.
Yeah, they put him as a star.
They put him as, like, third listed, you know?
Yeah, you know, the weird thing is the whole army, you know, the whole SEALs part where they come in.
Yeah.
They don't come in until, like, 45 minutes left of the movie. Like, a little
in
the hour,
very,
you know,
the very last.
Yeah, that's when
scene
that's when they're
pretty
really
much.
Yeah.
The raid.
Before then, though, they're showing up at parts, but they weren't really in it. You know? And then, but you know, it was a good cast. I thought.
Yeah, the cast was good. The writing was a little shoddy.
Yeah.
Like the dialogue, especially.
I think that was the weak.
It was kind of flat.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't
because,
have depth. You know?
Yeah, because they relied so much on them telling the story through their conversations that . They needed to, like, I felt like they wanted to, like, oomph it up. Like, they wanted to add stuff to it. And then it just kind of became a little, they tried to do too much with it.
Yeah, they tried to make it, like, the conversations, say, between Jessica Chastain's character and, like, the director of the CIA. They tried to make it too intense when there wasn't any intense things,
but
I
necessary.
Guess.
It wasn't necessary.
So there was a lot of unnecessary language and yelling.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like,
it was kind of ridiculous.
Let's be honest. Like, it's understandable to get angry because of what it's about. Like, about Osama bin Laden, this whole, you know, thing that's been going on for so long.
Uh-huh.
And, like, but, like, there's a time and place for everything. And she stops him, like we were both saying, in, like, a hallway and just, like, goes off on him.
Yeah, she starts, like, yelling, like, oh, I know more about this than you do. And it's like, he must be, like, 20 years her senior. At the CIA, she's been there 12 years, and she thinks she's, like, this hotshot, like, oh, I can do this by myself kind of deal, which I think is ridiculous. And that is impossible if that happened in real life.
Yeah, because I think that's kind of where we tie into the whole pros and cons about the movies. I think one of the weak points, like we said, was some of the dialogue, the writing. And then, but to top that off, I think that they tried to, the dramatic effect, they tried to really put that on a little too much at certain parts. Because, you know, they have to make this a Hollywood movie,
mm-hmm.
and it's based off of a real story,
yeah.
and they have to make it entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they're going to bend a little, you know, here and there. So,
One plus I had was the action. There wasn't too much action, but it was at great times. And as Matt just said, one thing that angers me when I see, like, action movies, quote, action movies, is that, like, when something blows up, it's this huge, like, fireball and, like, you know, super big in the air, but, like, real explosions aren't like that.
Like, they, like,
you they're know. Just, like, the pop and, like, dust.
And there's some fire, percussion. But there's not too much. It doesn't stay too long, you know? It's not like a...
It's not like a Michael Bay movie. But there was one explosion that was like a Michael Bay movie.
And near the end, right?
Yeah, like, maybe 20 minutes.
I felt like that was just, like, here's the director getting ready to do the movie the way they want to make it. And they're like, oh, we're going to blow up the helicopter at the end, how it happens. Because we're not spoiling anything. You know the story.
Yeah, this
already.
Is a real story. give or take some details.
You know, it's been on the news. You've heard of it, I think.
Yeah, they have to have the stealth helicopters come in, and one crashed, and they had to blow it up.
And then they just fucking overkill.
Yeah, it was overkill. Like, you see this guy, he takes his like, pouch, side pouch, pulls out all this C4, and he places it all over this helicopter in random spots.
Like one of them he can't get all the way up there.
He climbs up to, like, the rear rotor, and he, like, falls through. Like, his foot falls through in a hole or something. But when they blow it up, it's like this enormous fireball. And I don't know, all the other explosions with the C4 was like...
It was good because on doors and stuff, and it looked really realistic, and, you know. But then that one, it felt like Hollywood kind of just butted in and was like, hit this part, just boom, just overdo it. Just
it's almost as if, like, Michael Bay walked in and was like, what kind of explosion is that?
We gotta beef it up a little bit.
Yeah, we gotta add some zing and some pep.
Pep and zing, okay, so, I thought that was, you know...
I thought it was a decent movie. Everything
was
great.
It's definitely not the movie of the year, though. Like, buzz that has been around it.
And I think Oscars should be reserved for movies that have good dialogue, because I think dialogue should be the main focus of a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, because
a movie like this,
you can't have a story that functions if it doesn't have good dialogue.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, personally, what I've been looking at is, I'm looking at these Oscar movies that they've picked, and this is one of them, and I've seen this movie now, and I don't know if I'm sold on it. Like, liked it, it was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, give or take, there's a few flaws to it. Of course, there's flaws in every movie. But, like, you know, from my standpoint, I saw a movie like Cloud Atlas. I think that is a better film than this movie.
Yeah, because that had pretty good dialogue, but it had a story that kind of captured you in.
It
like, drew
you
in.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You wanted to see how the characters progress.
Yeah.
But in this, I didn't really care for the main character,
exactly.
Jessica Chastain's character. She was too whiny and angry at all the wrong parts.
And I'd like to bring up, with that said, a part that really made me angry, because there's Mark Strong is in it, like we said, and he's a really great actor in my opinion, and he's, you know, what is he? He's another type of, like, director.
Yeah, he must be, like, the head of the project.
Because she goes to his office every day since they find out the compound. And she takes a dry erase marker and writes on his window the number of days it's been since they found the compound and have done nothing about it. And now, to a point, they start to actually follow through with plans. He introduces her to the SEALs and all that stuff that are going to be carrying out this mission.
They, like, make up all these schematics and models, and they present it to the director of the CIA.
And he swears, too. Remember all them? They're all just, like, big bunch of potty mouths.
Absolutely. I mean,
go on,
it's one thing to swear, but it's one thing to swear at, like, the complete wrong times.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah.
Oh, my God. But all in all, it was a decent movie, except for a few of the characters and the dialogue.
Yeah, and the music isn't anything crazy that is.
No, it's just, like,
just
background
it's
music.
Just there,
Yeah.
So, you know, what would you give this movie on a scale? What would you rate this one?
What scale are we using?
Well, I'd like to have some relevance to the film we just watched. So let's do, let me think here.
Abu Ahmed?
Yeah, let's do Abu Ahmed,
Abu Ahmed was a character they were pursuing for such a long time, like 7 years. So, I'd give it 3 Abu Ahmeds out of 5 Abu Ahmeds. It was decent, but it wasn't like great or Oscar-worthy even.
Yeah, I think there's parts of it that could have been Oscar-worthy. You know, like cinematography was good, and you could tell like it was a good film.
It wasn't like anything like over the top or special, but it was.
And they did do it was like, nicely nice camera work, especially near the end with the whole night vision and all that stuff. It was really good.
Yep.
I'm with you on this one though. I'm going to give it 3 Ahmeds out of 5. It was good, but it wasn't the best.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Uh-huh. Like, it's definitely getting a little too well of reviews, in my opinion, out there with the critics.
Yeah. I think. Yeah.
They're kind of praising it a little too much.
I can see that.
So, with that said, thank you for checking us out. We got another special segment for you now. And hand it on over to the co-host for it. So, thank you.
All right. This is our first segment, first new segment, entitled Documenting Documentaries. Okay, last night, for the first time, I viewed this movie called How to Survive a Plague. It was directed by David France. This documentary is about the AIDS crisis in the 80s, specifically in New York, and about this group of activists called ACT UP, and they would, you know, stage civil disobedience rallies, sit-ins. They had a thing called a kiss-in. You can look that up. But I think anybody who wants to see a really, really well-done social documentary should see this. I mean, it's super well-done. They have, like, the most interesting archival footage in it. It kind of has you on the edge of your seat, because they talk about, like, the leader of ACT UP and all significant heads of the organization. And they tell you that they are all suffering from AIDS, but the whole movie, they don't tell you if they survived this or not. And so you're sitting on the edge of your seat, just watching, like, where are these guys? Because they interview these people, like chemists, doctors, all that stuff, but they don't really interview the heads of ACT UP or this other organization called TAG. But when you find out
everything,
find out what happens after this, like, ACT UP and TAG things, and you see these leaders healthy and strong and surviving, it's really uplifting, and it's kind of cool that these people pressured, like, the EPA and the FDA and the president at that time, Ronald Reagan, and Bush Sr., and they finally got, like, decent treatments for AIDS. So I think all in all, it was a great, great documentary.
You need to learn something from it.
Yeah, you know, it's sad too. So if you like sad documentaries, take a look.
Cool. Well, very cool. We're gonna have more of these documentaries very soon. Some new films, some old ones that Jackson will be checking out for you. So stay updated on that. Thank you very much for joining us on this episode of Flick Fanatics with your co-hosts, Matt
and Jackson.
And next film...
Stay tuned for the next episode
of Flick Fanatics,
where we will be documenting Identity Thief with Jason Bateman.
Boom! See you in February. Thank you very much.